Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We are always blessed when you join us, and I would be, I'd like to ask you to do me a favor really quickly as we get started today. I want to ask you to subscribe to our podcast. It's easy to do. Just hit the subscribe button and confirm that you'd like to be notified when we publish a new episode. That's it. We do not collect emails or anything like that, so you don't have to worry about spam. By subscribing, you'll have immediate access to the latest published episodes and be able to listen at your own convenience. Amen? So I want to thank you for doing that right now. Go down below, just click the subscribe button. Glory to God. Now, have you ever considered yourself to be a speaker or a teacher? How about an author? I mean, it doesn't have to be in Christian studies, although in my opinion, that wouldn't be a bad thing. It could be in basket weaving. It's whatever you are an expert at. Somebody somewhere needs to hear what you have to say. Well, now, Brother Bob, I just don't know if I have what it takes to be a speaker. Well, let me give you a little bit of insight into my guest today. Dominique Brightman is an author, library assistant, podcaster, and professional speaker hailing from Baltimore, Maryland. Glory to God. I met Dominique at a local Toastmasters meeting. He was the master of ceremony the night that I met him. His wit, his speaking prowess, his onstage presence. Folks, this guy is the real deal. Now, Dominique was raised in the church where he was taught fundamental life lessons and received a head start with public speaking. This early start led him to win third place at a state-level speech competition during grade school. Talk about finding your calling early in life. I was petrified to stand up and give answers to questions in class when I was in grade school, man. While at high school, Dominic took a summer job at a public library to gain experience. And after a successful summer performance, he was invited to work there part-time. Since then, he's been rising through the ranks and gained over a decade of customer service experience. Thanks to his work experience and having read hundreds of books, Dominic always leaves his audiences with useful tips and strategies. His aim is to help others become better versions of themselves through reading and other forms of self-development. Amen. In addition to professional experience, Dominic possesses an Associate's of Applied Science and Network Technology. No wonder he's laughing when I said I needed help checking email. His technology experience adds another dimension to his skill set, which has helped hundreds of people to complete their digital resumes and become more tech savvy. As an active member of Toastmasters International, Dominic has given dozens of inspirational talks and was awarded for his leadership in 2016 as an area director. He was the youngest area director in the region at the age of 23. Dominic has also appeared on many media outlets such as eLife Media, Fox 45 News in Baltimore, Toastmasters International Magazine. In addition to appearing on many other media outlets, he's also created his own Going North podcast, which interviews authors from all over the world. It's been ranked in the top 10 of all self-help podcasts in the world. Amen. Man, that's awesome, brother. Because of his love for books, Dominic has written and published his own book called Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself. And we'll be discussing his book and some of these other things today. But first, help me welcome to the program the one, the only, Dominic Brightman. Dominic, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to visit with us today, brother.
Man, thanks for having me, dude. Like, that's probably like the best reading of my biography ever, man. Freaking awesome.
Man, you got it going. You got a lot of stuff happening, man. That's awesome. Now, David, the first question I always start with for all of my guests is tell us in your own words, besides that brief bio that I just read, who is Dominic Brightman?
Yes, Dominic Brightman. Yes, sir. Sometimes you can go by Dom for short since it's easier. I mean, hey.
That'll work.
Like, first and last name is 18 letters in total. I don't even get into the two middle names. But myself, I'm just a guy who just loves the Lord, loves helping people, and just wants to make something out of himself and just get out of life what God has in store for me and just help others find what God has in store for them. So it's just one heck of an amazing thing. I've had some amazing parents, had some amazing friends, still have some amazing friends, and had some great mentors in life and just all around great people in life who have just helped shape and mold who I am, and it's just one heck of an awesome blessing in life, considering where other folks may be in life and considering where I possibly could have been. So it's just one heck of just an opportunity just to wake up every day and realize, like, hey, I may not be where I want to be just yet, but I'm still in the place that is definitely a lot better than where I could be and possibly should be, because this is a year where a lot of things are being brought to the light, especially all over the world, and you never know who's going through what, especially with like the mental health issues and things like that, and just the, I guess in a way, spiritual bankruptcy in a way, because a lot of folks talk about spiritual stuff, but that may not be all spiritual, and they just may be just using it as a mask for just another form of just lack, and it's just an amazing thing. So it's just knowing that I'm blessed an opportunity to bless somebody else.
Amen. Amen. Now, let's start at the beginning. You were raised in church, and your bio says this provided you the head start in public speaking. Explain how that has shaped what you do now.
Yes, the church is one of the best places to be, especially if they give the youth a chance to speak. And every Sunday, we had this thing called a Children's Inspirational Moment. It's where one of the Sunday school teachers would get up and just give like a story, an inspirational talk, and then before having everybody go back to their seats and we continue worship service, every child would remember a scripture. And I made sure I try to remember a scripture every time I got up there, because it'll be a nice chance for the kids to shine and make all the parents go, ooh, and I'm like, oh, that's my baby up there, y'all, that's my baby. And not only that, just also doing just little scripture recitations and reciting poems and taking part of plays. And that gave me an edge when I got into senior high school public speaking class, because I actually was used to speaking in front of audiences, because at the time when I was little, one of my church, we had about a good close to 1,000 members on paper, and we averaged a good 500 to 700 attendees per service. So speaking in front of 20 people, even though it's a little bit more of an intimate setting, it actually gave me the perspective like, hey, if I can do it in front of hundreds, I can do it in front of dozens. And that is just one heck of a confidence booster, especially since a lot of folks, they may want to just stay like in the corner, stay at their desk or whatever, and just be quiet, as opposed to the person who's up at front. That just shows confidence, and that's something we all need, especially if you're doing like any sort of evangelism or if you're professing your faith out there. Confidence is really a requirement if you're going to be effective, and that's just like one of the ways that it's actually helped me, because it just gave me that edge like, hey, it's just more than just reciting scripture. It's actually adding another skill set at a young age, and I feel like that's something that should be done more nowadays with kids, because it's a lot of stuff out there, and it'll give kids a chance to actually do something beyond just swiping through the phone or going through the laptops and all the other good stuff.
Yep. Amen. I agree. And, you know, like you heard me say, you know, in school, I was, you know, shy and withdrawn. And, you know, the Army has a way of changing that real quick. And they want the bold, the aggressive, you know. And if you're not, they will make sure that you have a desire to become that. But, you know, my leadership training and all that I went through kind of prepared me for what I'm doing now. Because I remember when I got called into the ministry, it was August of 1995. And you know, my calling in the ministry was Ezekiel chapter 2 and chapter 3, basically where God said, you know, I'm calling you to preach the gospel, and don't worry about what people say or think and all that other stuff, because I've made your head harder than their heads. And that made so much sense to me, because I've always been called hard-headed, and now I know why. And, you know, so I went and told my pastor, you know, and I made an appointment, went in and said, you know, I think I'm being called into the ministry. I thought, you know, he's going to pray with me and give me some books to read, give me some advice and all that. He said, you think so? I go, I think so. He stood up. As he walked out of his office, he put his hand on my shoulder and said, let me know when you know. And then he left.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
I was like, what? You know? But that was the best advice I had ever received. because that is a calling between you and God, not anybody else, you know. And I fought it for about 4 months, and in November of 1995, I went back to him. I said, okay, I've been called into the ministry. I told God, I said, okay. And he said, great. Now, at the there was a association of churches in our area at the time that they rotated every month. They would hold like a Friday night little get-together where each church, they'd pick like four churches, and each one would give 15, 20 minutes, you know, a representative, the pastor, whoever, a little sermonette. And, you know, that's kind of what they did for their association once a month. And the pastor said, great. He said, I'm glad to hear that because, you know, this coming Friday, though, this is on Sunday morning. He goes, this coming Friday night is, you know, the association meeting is being held here at our church, and you're going to represent our church. I'm like, what? In front of all them people? So that was my introduction to ministry, you know, and I'll never forget that first sermon because I preached on, you know, Peter walking on the water and, you know, getting out of the boat. And there was a series of about 8 or 9 steps from the platform down to the floor. And I'm talking about, you know, and Peter, you know, all the other stuff. But Peter started to climb down out of the boat. And as I'm doing that, I started, you know, my process coming down. I said, and everything was fine as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But as soon as he kept his eye, or took his eyes off Jesus, down he went. And as I said that, I missed a step. And down I went, all the way to the bottom. And I jumped back up and I said, and that's what happens when you take your eyes off Jesus. And the whole place erupted. Right?
Nice. Nice.
And when it was all done, the guy who was kind of in charge of the association, he's like 80-some years old at the time, he pulled me aside. He goes, that was the best recovery I've ever seen.
That is awesome.
I remember that like it happened yesterday. I'll never forget that as long as I live. But anyway, going down memory lane here. First, let me ask you this. That award-winning speech in grade school, do you remember what it was about?
Oh, yeah, that speech, it was actually under the declaration category, so we basically had to take a speech that was already written and made and actually recite it and deliver it as our own. And that speech is actually a excerpt from John F. Kennedy's inaugural speech called The Torch Is Passed.
Hey, man. All right. That's awesome. So that's what I say. That first sermon that I gave is still just, I mean, I can almost visualize what happened. I'm sure you're the same way with your first public presentation for that as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Hands are shaking. Even though you're telling me my hands are shaking the whole time, I'm like, ah, darn, for real. Like, yeah.
I got you. You know, even now, when I get up to, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for, 20-some years, 25 years? I can't remember now. But I still get up, and when I'm giving a sermon or whatever, teaching, I still start to sweat, you know, and all this. And I carry, you know, I'm put it like this. I'm like T.D. Jakes.
All right? Oh, my God. That's the whole bathtub.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not quite that bad anymore. About at the time of this recording, about 2 weeks ago, I did a sermon, and I was suffering from, you know, virus and all this other stuff. But, you know, I never cancel because of, you know, God made it there for a reason. This was an attack from the enemy, and I'm going to persevere and push through, you know. But the other night, my suit went to the dry cleaners when we were done. it was T.D. Jakes all over again, you know. Anyway, you took a summer job working at a library. Now, that would not be a place I would expect to find young people looking for summer jobs. How did you come across that opportunity?
Yep, that was a blessing from God through my mother because she was praying for the job and everything. And believe it or not, I'm actually I was an extra shy introvert at the time. Still introvert, not so much the shy part anymore. And after just her making some calls and everything, I was invited to work at a library, and I was actually able to be put out some decent work enough to actually be invited to work back part-time when I could legally at the age of 16, because I was 15 mm-hmm. at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was a really good thing that I decided to actually accept that part-time position, because it actually helped me to transform into the person you're hearing right now. Because it's like, yeah, it goes back to what you say. It's like when it goes to a teenager looking for a job, like the library is like one of the last places you think of. It was like, really? Funny enough, it's like instead of flipping burgers, get to flip some knowledge. So basically, just flip a book over and check it out to a customer. And not only that, and actually see how libraries are really more than just books. It goes beyond the books these days. Because in like the 21st century, I mean, it's not like the card catalog anymore. It's like folks in there using computers, looking for jobs, updating their resumes, and then you got these players for the kids, especially with STREAM, which is basically science, technology, engineering, reading, arts, and math. And it's like you're just trying to find ways to help kids explore the creative side, and also to get help with tutoring in some places with maker spaces where you help them to do some 3D printing or just go beyond just the regular Legos. And it's just an amazing thing. And then you meet all these people, especially in a public library setting of many diverse backgrounds. It's like being around all of that, you just can't help to actually transform into something greater, because if you're going to be in customer service or leadership, you're going to have to always grow, expand, if you don't want to evaporate, because you're going to be around people all the time. And to be around people, you got to make sure you keep your well full of energy and learn from them and just get that experience. So it's that was one heck of an experience, just be able to get that summer job and just break out the turtle shell of shyness and then just keep going with it.
Yeah, you talk about always learning and keeping that well full. I liken it when I'm doing a leadership presentation about, you know, you have to always be learning, because the moment you stop, it's kind of like paddling upstream in a canoe. The moment you stop, you don't stay still. You actually start to regress, and all that effort you put forward starts to fade, you know? So you always have to stay constant and digging and reading. Now, because of that part-time employment that you experienced, I would venture to say that you probably have more customer service experience than most young people. How has that shaped what you do today?
That's shaped a lot, because it just transfers into life, and that's actually one of the chapter titles of the book called In Going North, and it's Life is Customer Service. And
that's actually my next question.
And the reason why I believe life is customer service is because it ties in with servant leadership. I mean, Jesus came in the world to serve, not to be served, and to get the most out of life, just serve others to their greatness so that they can get the most out of life. Because in Magic Johnson's book, The 32 Ways of How to Be a Champion in Business, he talks about how in his rookie year, he was done with one of his games, and one of his star player teammates was asked for an autograph and a picture by one of the children in the crowd, and the player just brushed him off. Well, Magic came over before the kids started crying and was smiling at the child, and he was telling him, like, hey, I'll take a picture with you, I'll sign whatever you want. And then he made the child happy that day. Mm-hmm. And 20 years down the road, after he retires from NBA and he's starting off as a business owner and trying to get a building that'll be a multi-million-dollar venture, he learns that the owner of this real estate was actually a hard-nosed negotiator who is a stickler for time. So Magic basically showed up early for that meeting a good 30 minutes early. He met the man who was known for being stern. And when he met the guy, he sat him down in his office and he told him about that moment 20 years ago and how that child was his son, who later became a lawyer and a successful business person, and that he would happily sell him the real estate because he actually took the time to care for his son over 20 years ago and helped them to get that blessing and that confidence.
Yeah.
So he basically showed up 20 years early for another career down the road because he saw a need, he filled a need, and he saw that he needed to serve and help others. And that's just goes in life with like customer service. It's like, hey, you got to be careful of who you may talk to or who you may treat. And that,
that's right.
It's like, wow, man, that really did it for me.
Yeah, that is 100% true. That's a great story. Now let's shift gears a little bit. How did you become interested and associated with Toastmasters?
Yes, Toastmasters. So through all my, well, let me just back up a bit. So back in 2012, on my 21st birthday, got to this car accident, and that was just one of the dominoes that fell because my father, who was getting up there in age, and he was stricken with Alzheimer's, and he had his license taken away, and that was just taking its mental and emotional toll on myself. So that car accident led me to actually going into the leadership section of the library and picking up all these books. And one of the first ones I picked up was The Five Levels of Leadership by John Maxwell. Mm. And then I later came down to the works of Brian Tracy, and it mentioned how about Toastmasters. And I was like, okay, this sounds interesting. And what really prompted me to go was because after the car accident and everything, and I wanted to change my life for the better to go north, I basically volunteered to run a public speaking seminar for my church a few months down the road back in 2014. So Toastmasters, hearing that, that gave me an opportunity to go to a place where I can learn more about public speaking and network with others and possibly find a speaker for the seminar for my church. And after joining Toastmasters and successfully running the seminar at the church, I realized, like, hey, I'm leaving some things on the table. So I went ahead and joined an additional club and just learned a bunch more and just continuously connected with others and just went to more conferences and volunteered for different leadership roles like district leadership with area director and division director. And actually just getting more leadership experience, because one of the things I learned from reading, especially under John Maxwell, is that if you really want to test your leadership ability, lead a bunch of volunteers. And Toastmasters is the leadership laboratory for that, because no one's getting paid and everybody's there for the same goal. But at the same time, it's self-paced. Some folks may go faster than others, so you'll have to learn in certain roles like vice president of education how to possibly motivate others and see how they can help others succeed and get the goals that they want to meet. So Toastmasters is a nonprofit organization that gives you the opportunity to practice leadership. I mean, you can probably make 20 explosions, metaphorically speaking, and still make it out alive and no one will kill you. So,
because they've made the same mistakes. Yeah.
Yep.
Amen. And you've been a part of Toastmasters how long now?
Well, it's been about 5 years now. It was October of 2013,
Wow, that's awesome. Now, you've had an appearance in Toastmasters International Magazine. How did that come about?
That was the most random blessing from last year, because it was one meeting at the Randallstown Network Toastmasters meeting, and our PR guy was taking pictures of a specific meeting, and we have this portion called Table Topics where people get up and talk about a random topic they don't know. And when I was actually called up to speak, he took a couple pictures of me and everybody else, but the folks at Toastmasters International actually chose the picture of me speaking in front of everyone else. And lo and behold, like the June issue of Toastmasters, I was pictured along with the club as a diverse, successful group that's been around for 30 plus years. And I was just amazed, like, wow, they actually chose that picture out of every other one. Like, it's awesome. Like, all right, this is freaking awesome. Like, that was just so amazing. I guess it kind of goes to the whole, one of the rules of success in life is just showing up. It's like if you just show up and then do the work and then just stay consistent, you'll actually get residual blessings out of nowhere if you just keep showing.
That's right. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Dominic Brightman. I'm hoping that you're getting out of this interview what my intent was in bringing him on the program today. I met him at a local Toastmasters meeting. He was the master of ceremony the night that I met him. And his stage presence and his personality, it just exude confidence. And I talked to him afterwards, and he is just as real as it gets. I mean, he's just a pleasant person to talk to. He knows what's going on. He's got a plan, and he's executing it. And I told him, I have to get you on our podcast. You know, he's a Christian brother in the Lord. He's an author, a podcaster, a professional speaker. He's been speaking for a few years now, and he's speaking at events all over the Baltimore area. Now, what makes his story to me really unique is that he started by volunteering as a elementary grade school to work at the library. Not elementary grade, at high school he's working at the library, but in elementary school he was public speaking and winning awards. I mean, this guy has it all together. And folks, I'm hoping you're getting a lot out of this interview. You need to come back tomorrow. Join us as we continue our interview with Dominic Brightman, because it just gets better and better and better. I guarantee it. Amen. So come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.